Yehuda and I had the chance to spend time with Reb Kalish earlier today in Waterbury. And one of the themes he had brought out in preparing for Purim, he would talk about Matanos L'Avyonim. We're going to focus on some of the other mitzvahs of Purim. He is talking about the importance of making sure you know what you need to do and doing it right. And doing it right in terms of the pirtei halacha, in terms of the proper behavior, or the halachic details, and doing it right also in terms of appreciating what the mitzvah is about, and accomplishing what it is that we're trying to accomplish with the mitzvahs of Purim, mitzvahs in general, and the mitzvahs of Purim in particular. We've definitely touched in the past on the comment of Rav Huttner that the Yom Tov is supposed to be absorbed. That at the end of a yantif, the line can't be nishnach yantif avek, it has to be nach yantif arayim. Yantif has to get absorbed. Usually we talk about that the longer Yom Tovim. At the end of Pesach, at the end of Sukkot, even the end of Shavuos, they had a chance to soak, to marinate with the ideas of the mitzvahs and the ideas of the yantif over the course of those days. Purim goes by very quickly. Purim goes by very quickly, especially this year, sort of a running start from Shabbos straight into Purim. We do have an extra hour during the day, but Purim goes by very quickly. So hopefully we'll get together now to learn the dinim and to learn some of the ideas behind the dinim as well. Hopefully that will enable us to, when we approach Purim, when Purim is upon us, so we'll be better equipped to do it right and better equipped to absorb it well. I want to talk about one of the, in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, one of the smaller topics. The Masechta is called Megillah, and you see in front of you, here are copies of the Rambam. The Rambam refers to the two Prakim Hilchos Purim, Hilchos Megillah. In part because of the four mitzvahs of Purim, there are many more halachos and details about Mikra Megillah. Rambam has two prakim of the Hilchos Purim, and it's only in the middle of Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid, a perek in two thirds, a perek in three quarters in, that he finally switches away from Megillah to the other mitzvahs. The Megillah is definitely the bulk of it, but I want to take a look, and we often think a lot about and talk in shul about the halachas of Megillah. I want to take tonight to look at Siman Tafresh Tzadi Hei, which is two of the other mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Sudas Purim and the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, which are very important mitzvahs, and mitzvahs that, you know, Mikra Megillah speaks of, articulates certain ideas of Purim. Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim is an opportunity to put some of these ideas into practice. And there is a tremendous amount of richness in the mitzvahs that are very dear to us, and there's a tremendous amount of halachic richness that's worth our taking the time now to prepare in advance, to appreciate the richness of the dinim, and hopefully from there also to appreciate some of the richness of the ideas that the dinim reflect. But as I said, these two mitzvahs have a small address, so we can try to wrap our arms around it over the course of tonight. In the Gemara, these mitzvahs of Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim find their home in Daf Zayin, the very bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, in the first half of Daf Zayin Beis. And in Shulchan and Shulchan Aruch, they find their home in Siman Tav Resh Tzadi Hei, 795, all the way at the very, very end of the climax of Aruch Shulchan Aruch Aruch Haim. So let's take a look. It's interesting that the Gemara, as you see in front of you, actually working off of a Mishnah Davav Amud Beis that speaks about this sort of year. Shana Mubaras, Ein Ben Adar HaRishon, the Mishnah gives a unique case of back in the days when the calendar was live, and Sanhedrin was month by month, year by year, making decisions over when Rosh Chodesh is and whether it should be Shana Mubaras or not. So Purim was even more interesting because sometimes there would be a 11th hour, you know, decision. Right, it's in the middle of Adar, and then the Sanhedrin decides, actually, this is Adar Rishon, we have an extra month till Purim. All of your Shalach Manos baskets are ready to go, and then they get put on ice. And then the Mishnah says towards the end, that Adar Rishon has significance also. Ein ben Adar Rishon, Adar Rasheni, Ela Kriyas HaMegillah, Matanas LaAvyonim. The mitzvahs of Purim, the Mikra Megillah, Matanas LaAvyonim, those have to happen specifically in Adar Sheni. Adar Rishon, you don't have the mitzvahs Hayom, but maybe you have some of the essence, maybe you have some of the Simcha, maybe you have the, certainly we refrain from Tachman, from Hespedim, and so on and so forth. So that line, Matanas LaAvyonim, that's one mention in the Mishnayos, and that's the hook, that's sort of the outcropping in Mishnayos, and the Gemara works off of that. So you see the Gemara in the very bottom of Zion of Pigim Matanas LaAvyonim, Mishloach Manos, and the Gemara works its way through Mishloach Manos, wrapping onto Zion of Beis. Shalom Aleichem, make yourself comfortable. And then towards the end, later, as you work your way through Zion of Beis closer to the Mishnah, the Gemara's pivots from talking about Sudas Purim to talking about Mishloach Manos to talking about Sudas Purim. But the tour in the Shulchan Aruch organized things the other way around. The tour of Shulchan Aruch begin with Sudas Purim and then come to Mishloach Manos afterwards. So we're going to follow the Seder of the tour in Shulchan Aruch as we usually do. And let's, as is our wont, let's begin with the Gemara. So we'll begin with the Gemara in Zion Beis, the middle of Zion Beis. Right before the first Mishnah, the last couple of lines. The Gemara tells a din, and the Gemara tells a story about a frustrated Rebbe. Rebbe was frustrated with the size of the shir. Amar Rava, here we are, like 8-10 lines before the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Seudas Purim Shachala Balayla Lo Yotzi De Chavosa. If a Jew eats the Seudas Purim at night, he's not Yotzi his mitzvah. My timer, what does that mean? What's the basis for that? Yimei mishtev esimchaksev, because the pasuk in the ninth parak of the Megillah, remember that over the first 8.5 parak of the Megillah are the narrative of Purim, and then deep into parak test, the very end of the Megillah, the psukim shift from agada to halacha. It's talking about the mitzvahs of Purim. So the Megillah talks about the mitzvahs of Purim, the Megillah talks about the yontif of Purim, and the Megillah actually there also talks about itself. Self-referential, about the writing of the Megillah. The Megillah tells its own history, which itself is a fascinating sugya, leaneta for a different time, on Zion Amud Aleph. Top of Zion Aleph, the Gemara talks about the halachic controversy at the time that surrounded Kisvuni Ladoros and Kivuni Ladoros, where the debate about whether or not Megillah Esther ought to have been included or not in the Kisvei HaKodesh, and whether it was appropriate or inappropriate to establish a new Yomtif. Is it Bal Tosef? Whole discussion. Ultimately, the conclusion was obviously that we do include the Megillah Esther and the Kisvei HaKodesh, and Purim is an appropriate addition to the calendar. It's not a violation of Bal Tosef, at least in part because it's an extension of certain ideas, Daraisa, of celebrating Geulos. So in that context, in the course of the Megillah describing Purim, and subtly also describing the mitzvahs of Purim. Pasuk says, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. These are days of drinking and happiness. In other words, the Gemara points out, that's not just a general description of Purim as a happy day, but that's specifically a reference to the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, the specific mitzvah's masa of Sudas Purim. And Harei, the Megillah describes as happening by Yom. So to have a Suda Balayla, you're not Yotzei. Suda has to be Bayom. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. We'll come back more as we turn to Shulchan Aruch. But first, let's see the story that the Gemara tells that refers back to this memra of Rava. A generation or two later, Rav Ashi have a Yosef Kamei, either Kamei de Rav Kahana, Kamei da Meima, Rav Ashi, the very end of the period of the Amoraim, he was at the time of the story a Talmud in his Rebbe Shir, either different Gersos, either a Rav Kahana Shir or Meima Shir. Noga, it got later in the day, the lost Rabbanim. So Rav Ashi was there, he was in yeshiva with the Rebbe, but the bulk of the shir had not shown up. And then it was getting later in the day, and still, most Talmidim weren't there. So he's, Amale, my time of lost Rabbanim. How come the other Talmidim, young Talmidim Chachamim haven't shown up? Maybe they're busy. Maybe they're busy with the Sudas Purim. Amaled, Rabach has a back and forth here. How come they're not here? Says, oh, maybe they're busy with Sudas Purim. That's why they couldn't come to Shir, because they're busy taking care of things, busy getting ready for the mitzvah, or busy doing the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. So Amaled, Lahav Efshel Mechle Beurta, why couldn't they eat it the night before? Like Kuba had their Suda last night. So Amaled, Lo Shmila Lamar Hada Amar Rava. So Rav Ashi responds, didn't my Rebbe hear the memory of Rava from a generation earlier? The Suez Purim Shachal Balayla Yaseh Chavasel. The Talmidim couldn't just be Yotzei Suez Purim last night and come to Yeshiva today. Yeah, Rava said, you're not Yotzei. Rava had a diak from the Pasuk. So you're not Yotzei with the Suez Purim Balayla. He says, oh, really? That's talk what Rava said? He said, yeah. So Talmidim Arba in Zimnin, the Damalek Haman the Manach Bekise. He chazered that din 40 times. And it was like, in his pocket. He chazered this din, the Suez Purim Shachal Balayla Yotzei, 40 times. And he was Kona that din. So as an aside, maybe we'll come back to this, it's intriguing that it's in this context in particular that the Gemara seeks to tell us a lesson about the power of Chazara. Now, what do you learn overall from this story? So the Bach points out on the side of the tour that one thing you learn from this story is the first line, the tour, which also, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the first line, the Ramah. If you have a big Shulchan Aruch or a Mishnah Berurah, either way, you see, interesting, every once in a long while, you'll have a siman that works like this, where the first line is just Ramah. Before the Shulchan Aruch even gets started, the Ramah has a preliminary line. The Ramah here is quoting the Torah, they're kind of the parentheses. Mitzvah l'harbas besudas purim. It's a mitzvah to be marbin sudas purim, to have a magnificent suda, to have a big suda. Uvesuda achas yotzim. And you're Yotzei with one Se'uda. Where does this come from? So the Bach points out that this line of the Torah and the Ramah, that comes from this Gemara. Because it's clear from the Gemara that the Sudas Purim is a big deal. It took hours and hours to have the Sudas Purim. That's why they were treated the Sudas Purim. They couldn't come to the base matters. This is not just a half-hour affair. This is meant to be very significant. Take a look in the Rambam. The Rambam has a little bit more to say about Ribui Sudas Purim, but it may well be rooted in this same diuk that the Bach used to explain the tour in the Ramah. You see, the Frankel print, it's organized very well. The last line in Halach Yudal is the beginning of the halachas of Sudas Purim, and the opening line is Sudas Purim Shasa Balayla Lo Yatze Yidei Chavasa. Then he's going to go on to talk about what the Sudas Purim looks like. Why does he start with that one line? Usually the Rambam is very organized in the way he presents a new halacha, and usually he'll first name the din before he gets into the details. Whereas here you see halacha tezvav is ketzas chova sudazu. He begins with suas purim shasa balai liyotze dechavasa. It's interesting that he handles it that way. It may just be because he previously was already talking about the timing of mitzvahs. So in that context, he mentions the timing of Sudas Purim also. You don't have it in front of you. The beginning of Halach Yadalid, he was talking about, as I mentioned, he's talking all the way through Halach Yadalid about the halachas of Megillah. So Halach Yadalid talks about the timing of the mitzvah. And he's talking about the Bnei HaKfarim, who are opening Mishnah Megillah, who are laying in Megillah early. So he says, they're going to lay in the Megillah early the previous Monday or Thursday. That used to be the din. The villagers would come into the big cities and hear the Megillah on the preceding Monday or Thursday, which might be a day or two or three before Purim. And then he goes on to quote, you can't be Yotzei Sudas Purim then. You cannot be Yotzei. You have to Yotzei Sudas Purim. Even if you're laying Megillah early, Bnei HaKfarim, got to be Yotzei Sudas Purim Bobayom. And then he goes on to say, in specific, Yom as opposed to Balayla. So perhaps that's why he, just because of the flow of ideas from Megillah to Seuda, that's why he's already talking about timing. So he gives you another detail about timing. It may also have to do with the fact that it's really the one din that the Gemara teaches us directly about Sudas Purim, as we saw, is it has to be by Yom and not by Laila. We'll come back to this. Let's see a little bit more of Halacha Tezvav, though.
Shulchan Aruch does the same thing, Rebbe. It also starts with
the timing. Right, that is true. Right, the Shulchan Aruch, you're right, the Shulchan Aruch is probably following the Rambam in that. Now take a look at then Halacha Tezvav. You're right. Halacha Eno Lechi Dalet parallels the Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph. That's a good point. Halacha Tezvavi begins to describe, sketch a picture what a Seudas Purim looks like. Keitzer Chova Seudazu. What does it look like to fulfill Seudas Purim? Sheyochal Basar V'Yisakin Seuda Nakifir Shetim Sayadav. You have to have meat and, more broadly, a beautiful meal proportional to what one's budget is like. Has to be proportional to what my spending capacity is. Shouldn't overspend, but also shouldn't underspend. I should, within the framework of what my finances look like, it should be one of the nicer seudos of the year. The show says, yeah, and you drink wine, he talks about the shechros. We'll get back to that soon. Then he moves, Rambam already moves on to talk about Mishloach Manos. So we'll come back to this Rambam another one or two times in the course of the shiur to talk about Mishloach Manos and talk very soon about the drinking. But you're ready. The very first thing the Rambam tells Halacha Tezvav is a more expanded, a more picturesque version of what the Torah and the Ramah say briefly, which is Mitzvah Harvest of Seudas Purim. Because you'll notice that he presents it as Basar V'Yayin, and that parallels any Seudas Yom Tov, but it's more Basar, as we'll see soon. It's more Yayin also. And it seems to be a theme that we'll see even the way he discusses Mishloach Manos. It's meant to be a richer, bigger, broader Seuda than just a mere Seuda Zantiv. Even Seuda Zantiv is supposed to be beautiful. Kathia Shatim Siyado. And it sounds like Purim even more so. Purim is a super Seuda Zantiv. And that's how the Torah and the Ramah open. Again, as the Bach pointed out, this may all be rooted in this story. And that's the significance of this Maisa, is to make it clear that Seudas Purim is meant to be a major production. So much so that they were out of the base measures for hours and hours and hours, because Baruch Hashem, they were treaty besudas purim. We'll get back more soon, later in Sif Beis, to the interaction between Sudas Purim and Talmud Torah. Now, in terms of the din that the Gemara had taught, Rava's memra about Sudas Purim Shasa B'Lail, as you point out, that's a discussion in Sif Aleph. Seudas Purim Shasa B'Lail Lesa Dechavaso, quoting the Rambam, quoting Rava in the Gemara. Now the Ramah, the line before, had said, Uvesu'uda Achas Yotzim. Your Yotzei Seudas Purim, although it's a mitzvah laharbos, it doesn't mean you have to have multiple Seudos. You have one Seuda, that one Seuda should be a big, beautiful, bountiful Seuda, but one Seuda suffices. What do you mean one Seuda suffices? The Mishnah Berurah already explains there. Sifkan Aleph, Lapuki imanda amar dechayiv lechol gam balayla. Or if you have a big shulchan, you look in the Magen Avraham. That besuda achas yotzin. The Rama is saying we don't follow the one who holds that you have to have a suda at night also. Dumya de megillah. What's that all about? So you look back in the Beis Yosef. It's really the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara. Tavshin Pei Zayin. He quotes one of the early Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah was of the opinion that just as the Gemara had a drasha that the Zachiyah of Mikra Megillah both by Laila and Bayom, so Rav Yah understood that that carries over to Seudas Purim as well. He understood that you have to have a Seuda by Laila and you have a Seuda by Yom. You go hear Mikra Megillah at night, you come home, you have a Seuda. You go hear Mikra Megillah in the morning, and then Ramah's going to talk some more Seudas Beis HaWen, either in the morning or afternoon, you have, according to Rav Yah, Seuda number two. The Mordechai himself attacks that. He says, what do you mean? The simplest attack on the Rav Yah, what's the simplest attack on the Rav Yah? The Gemara said, you know, Yotzef, the Gemara was pretty clear. Was it? Was the Gemara clear? How did Rav Yah read the Gemara? Now, the Mordechai attacks him from the story. The second half of the Gemara. But your point, the first half of the Gemara, Rav's memory, he said, you're not Yotzei. So what's the Mordechai talking about? Yeah, so what's the Rav Yah talking about? How would the Rav Yah read the Gemara? What do you say?
Suggested to do it, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you should do it, right? But you have to do it.
Okay. Good. You're saying good. Say, push even further. What was Rav's language? Okay.
Which Laila is talking about?
That's an interesting point. So the two we could get to Ramah's going to talk about Sif Beis. Yeah, Ramah's talking about Sif Beis. It's still true as Hadeshin makes a point. It's certainly true. True as Hadeshin, one of the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, the late 1300s, early 1400s, He said, it's certainly true. There's nothing to talk about. Suda, Leil Tezvav. If you wait until after dark to have your Suda the night after Purim, so that's already post-Purim. That's already Shushan Purim. So one could have said that's what the Gemara means. It's difficult, though, because the Torah Zeshan thinks, well, what's a Havamina? Moreover, you see from the story that the question was, why didn't they have Suda last night? But
no, because they're talking to him during the day of Purim. So the conversation in the base medrash is going on during the day of Purim.
Right. He's saying, why take it through the night before?
Right.
So it seems like it's about your dollar.
Also,
but,
no rubber, they didn't know.
Yeah, what were they thinking until then? Now, maybe the rubber came up with his drasha, and maybe that the rubber was Machash's din. Right? Rubber said no. Earlier Tamei Chacham held that it could be Yotze Balayla, but I hold if you darsh in the Megillah, you see that that's incorrect. And it could be he disagreed. It could be said, we don't know what they did three generations ago, but the generation before me, they ate Suda Balayla, perhaps, and now I'm disagreeing, which is, as Rambam describes, we've discussed other times, Hilchos Mamrim. Sanhedrin, one generation, can darsh in Pesukim and disagree with the previous generation, perhaps. So now, but think about the language. Yeah, what was Rav's language? Yeah? So I think it's the standard way that the Mordechai is usually, the Rav Yehuda is usually understood, is he's saying, right, you're not, Suda's Laila doesn't suffice. It might be necessary, but it's not sufficient. And that's how the story then flows. Why didn't they just have a Suda at night? So the Rav Yehuda would say, the answer was, they did have a Suda at night, but that's not enough, you have to have a Suda now also. Right, so that's probably the way the Rav Yehuda would read it is it's not enough to have it. No, you also have to have it during the day. It's definitely not the simple read. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense either, because he's asking why are people here? Well,
instead of eating Suda. So he says, why take care of it last night?
So if it's not sufficient to do it last night, then
what do you know about Joshua?
So good. So the Mordechai is again. So the first kasha we ask the Rav Yehuda, what do you mean you're against Rava? He's saying Yotze Balayla, and you're saying, well, the answer could be he's saying you're not Yotze with Laila alone. It doesn't mean that Yom alone is good either. You need both, perhaps. That alone might be a little. That's already a little bit of a difficult read. Hold on 1 second. But then you're pointing out Uri, the Mordechai's kasha. Is from the story, it seems like, that's how the Mordechai reads. Look, he says, from the story, it seems like there's only going to be one meal. And it's like, when should the meal be? When should the meal be? So that's what the Mordechai says, I understand. There aren't two meals. Even if you can read it into Rava, you're going to have a hard time reading into the story. So the Bach comes up with an idea that seems to actually reflect in Shulchan Aruch, at least somewhat. The Bach comes up with a solution. The Bach says, how would the Rav Yehuda read the Gemara? He says, maybe the Rav Yehuda understood, you have to have two meals, but only one of them has to be a really big one. Because remember, the point of the story was that they're treated for hours, as we said, right? The treaty besudas purim is the mokor for chayiv laharbos. So that's just to have one course to mamish make a big production. So the Bach says, maybe that's how the Rav Yehuda read the Gemara. That I know that there are two pseudos, but the question is, only one has to be a really big one. So that's what the Rav Kahana or Amemar, whoever your gear says, whoever the Rebbe was, is saying to his Talmud Rav Ashi, how come no one else is here? They could have had the big pseudo Balayla. They could have had a two or three hour pseudo last night, and then have a brief pseudo in the daytime and come to yeshiva. And he says, no. The big Suda has to be Bayom. So that's the way the Bach wants to understand the Rav Yehuda, that he didn't think, even the Rav Yehuda didn't think that they're equal Sudos Bayom Balayla. Even the Rav Yehuda held that the main Suda is Bayom, but you have to have an additional smaller Suda Balayla. We do not accept even that fully, but take a look at the Raman Sif Aleph. When we call Hadah, and the Shulchan Aruch said, the Ramah quotes from the CT in parentheses, the Chuvas Mahariv, that's the Mahari Bruna. He was a Talmud of the Chuvas Hadeshin. He lived in the 1400s. He was a Rav in Germany. See, he writes, Well, mikamakom gam balayla yismach v'yar beketzas besuda. The full suda's Purim is bayom, but there has to be something. So I don't think that something necessarily is the way the bach on the suda Rav Yah. I don't think you necessarily have to wash hefleshiks or drink wine, but you have to have something. There should be you have a Purim masiba, Leil Purim. You have say you have a nicer dinner. There should be some ribui. There should be some ribui balayla. The Mishnah Berurah points at the end of Sifkat and Gimel. He says this captures another idea also. The Ramah is going to say the second point, second topic that Ramah and Sif Beis is going to talk about a whole series of topics. Topic number two we'll see is wearing big day Shabbos on Purim. So the Mishnah Berurah writes at the end of Sifkat and Gimel, Kasuv Achronim, Nachal Lilbush big day Shabbos Gami Be'erev. He says, this idea that Mari Bruna has that there should be some Simchas Purim, Kitzas Simcha, Kitzas Seuda, the night before as well. So that also means that I should be dressed up. Ideally, I should. This year it's easy because already coming is Matzah Shabbos, coming to Big Day Shabbos. You leave the Big Day Shabbos on, even if I go home and then come for a later Mariv and later Mikra Megillah. I stay in my Big Day Shabbos or change to a new fresh suit, as the case may be. You stay in Big Day Shabbos. Not only does Ramah say in Siv Beis you can wear Big Day Shabbos, but the Mishnah Berurah points Achron point out that that this Ramah and Siv Aleph indicates that even by Laila, even Leil Yudal, you're wearing ideally Big Day Shabbos as well. Even as they did, the house should be pretty. The house should be Me'en Shabbos. The house should be neatened up. L'Kavod Purim. Idea of kavod, because that's what Big Day Shabbos means, the din of kavod for Purim. It's interesting, I don't think we accept as a halacha that Beis Yosef quotes from the Archos Chaim, one of the Rishon of Provence, we'll be hearing from him very soon in Sif Beis, but Beis Yosef quotes from the Archos Chaim that he thought, sort of a different twist on thinking about Sudas Purim Shasa Balayla, he thought, why does it have to be Vayom? So Archos Chaim was of the opinion that it doesn't have to do with time on the clock. It has to do with the lighting. He says that the Archos Chaim understood, it sounds like, you could have the Sudas Purim the night before, but you have to have a well-lit home. If it's going to be barely lit, something we're going to say relate to, because lighting nowadays is very cheap. But until Thomas Edison, lighting your home at night was very, very expensive. Most people did not have well-lit homes at night. It was a big deal. So Archos Chaim says, if you talk, light your home well, so then that's then you can have Sudas Purim. It's interesting, in Yoridei Shinhei, in Halacha's opinion Aben, that comes up also. There's some discussion about our practice is not to do a Pinyan Aben Balayla. No Sekelim, on Shulchan Aruch, Shach, the Taz, trying to figure out why. It's not clear why Pinyan Aben has to be Bayom. The Mishnah and Megillah, in the second paragraph of Megillah, has a long list of mitzvahs to be Bayom. Mila has to be Bayom, Shofar has to be Bayom. That's based on Joshua's Apsukim. There doesn't seem to be any source that Pinyan Ben has to be Bayom. So there are different opinions given for why. One of them, I think the Shach quotes, is he says, maybe it's because you're going to have a Suda. You can have a Suda in the dark. It's not the Freilich. It's not Yantiftik. There's a little Simcha in that. So the Shach says, if that's the reason, then if you can afford to have a lot of lighting, then Gesunte, go have your the Pinyan Ben the night before. We don't follow that. We're concerned with the other reasons. So Lamaisa, we don't have the Pinyan Ben Leil Lamed Alef. We wait till Yom Lamed Alef. But this may be one of the reasons. That's what's reflected here. Orchaz Chaim says, we wouldn't want to have a Sudas Purim in the dark. Lamaisa, we are not Mekel. We are not Mekel like the Orchaz Chaim. We would not have a Sudas Purim. We wouldn't rely. We always have plenty of light available at night. We do not rely on this Orchaz Chaim. Maybe some sort of shasat chak, and it's worth considering. For some reason, it's absolutely impossible to have a sudas purim, proper sudas purim by yom. Then you have to figure out: would we maybe better to have a sudas purim by lights on, at least fulfill according to Archos Chaim, than not to have a sudas purim at all? Yeah, question.
Is the lighting really makiv in whether you're chayv?
So that is a chiddush, right? The Archos Chaim is because you're right. The Gemara said lo yotza. It's not just, it's not lechatchil. That's a good point. The Gemara said lo yotze. He said lo yotze because of the bad lighting. It's definitely surprising. It's not, it doesn't not quoted lahalacha by a later poskim, but again, maybe if there was a shas hadchak, if you had no option for whatever reason, it was absolutely impossible. No, no, soldiers are going to be, if you're not zochet, then you need some gluyim between now and Yud Dalet Adar. And the war in Gaza is still ongoing. And there may be soldiers who know in advance that they are going to be on the run all of Yom Yudal. This military necessity, they're not going to be able to have a Suda. Maybe they'll eat something, not to have a Ribui Suda. So maybe if they have no choice, if it's Balayla or nothing, so then make sure you have good lighting, which is not always a given in Gaza. Make sure you have great lighting. Then at least according to Archas Chaim, your Yotzei Sudas Purim Lechatila. But yeah, you're right, it is. In the context of the Gemara, in the context of the language of the Gemara, it is a surprising shita.
Does that mean you're not guilty before Nitz either, like between Avos and
Nitz? That's interesting because they say the Mishnah Megillah Daf Chaf says Mitzvah Zerabayom Lechatchila should wait until Hanetzachama, but b'diavad if you did the Bris Mila between Avos and Nitz, you're Yotze, you don't have to repeat it. If you shook lulav, if you blew shofar, if you said halal, between halos and eitz, b'diavad yotze. So you're saying, what would you say about suras purim? That comes out maybe that now the Orchaz Chaim is a chumra, because if you say stama din bayom, you may, which is again the simple reading of the Gemara was a drasha, you may mishta v'simcha, which is parallel to the drasha that the Gemara has by those other mitzvahs. So the vayter mikra din yom starts halos hashachar, but we lechatchila we wait until hanetz. Interesting, but according to the Orchaz Chaim, maybe not yet even b'diavad because you don't have good lighting. That's the interesting point. Comes out the Orchaz Chaim then is a machmir as well as a mekum. Now we come to Sif Beis. Sif Beis continues the dinim of Su'udas Purim. That's going to be the bulk of the rest of the dinim of Su'udas Purim. Sif Gimel will be about Al-Nisim, and Sif Dal is about Mishloach Manos. Over the course, you see the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch is very brief. Sif Beis, Rama, as you see, turning the page, has plenty to say. He has six different points to talk about. The first, he's going to talk about the menu for the Suras Purim. He's going to talk about number two, the attire for Suras Purim, which we already referenced, Big Day Shabbos. Number three, he's going to talk about timing. Four and five will be pre-Suda, and number six will be the post-Suda. Number one is the menu, and in that he is continuing the discussion that the Shulchan Aruch begins, which is, interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch does not mention basar. We saw the Rambam mentions basar and yain. Shulchan Aruch just says yain. Chayvin l'shul v'asim puraya ad l'yada bein arham l'baruch mordechai. That is the comment of the Shulchan Aruch. Where does that come from? So that comes from the Gemara. Let's take a look. We had already seen the very end of this Gemara right before the Mishnah. Expressly spoke about Suda Bayom, Suda Balayla. Before then, the Gemara speaks a couple lines before. The line ends Amar Rava. This is where the Gemara pivots from Mishloach Manos to Sudas Purim. Amar Rava, Michai Vin Shal Asumi Puraya Ad Lo Yadven Arham Baruch Mordechai. Jew is obligated, Liv Asumi Bi Puraya, Liv Asumi Al Pipashus means to get drunk. To get drunk on Purim. Until you don't know between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, which simply stated sounds like you're so plastered that you really are not very aware at all. So one question to think about here is what does Adla Yad Ben Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai even mean? And you see the vast majority of Rishonim have a hard time believing that we mean until you really are so gone that you don't know the difference between cursing Haman and Baruch Mordechai, you can't differentiate. You see, even the Tosus already begins to say, and the later Rishonim explained this, what Tosus is driving at. Top Tosus, Bi Yerushalmi, Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther, Arum Kol Rishon, Bruchim Kol Yehudim, Bruchim Kol Tzadikim, or Bruchim Kol Yisrael. Just one line from Yerushalmi, that's part of the Nusach that we have in the end of Shoshanas Yaakov. The later Rishonim Kotosis, as they explain, the significance of this is that Arham Baruch Mordechai is the beginning of a longer piyut. We, more recent generations, have incorporated into an even larger piyut of Shoshanas Yaakov. We don't just mean you don't know Arham Baruch Mordechai, you don't even mean Haman and Mordechai. No! It means maybe you can't recite the entire lengthy piyut. There are other approaches as well, which we'll get to. But let's first continue the Gemara. Because one question is, what does it mean, Bein Or Haman LeBaruch Mordechai? There are many beautiful approaches to that. Another question is, how do we pass it? It seems like it's an open and shut case. Rava says this din. Some Rishonim have the Girsa Rabba. And there doesn't seem to be anyone who's disagreeing. But then the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Zeira avdu Sudas Purim by Dei Adadi. Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira had a Sudas Purim together. If some, they got drunk. Come Rabbi Shachle Rabbi Zeira. Literally, Rabbi got up and slaughtered Rabbi Zeira. Some unfortunately assume that means literally he was so drunk that he committed an act of murder. Others assume it means not that he literally took a knife to him, but that maybe he forced Rabbi Zeira to drink so much that Rabbi Zeira died or at the very least got very sick. Whatever it is, this is quite a terrible outcome. So bad that the next morning Rabbi wakes up and Rabbi Zeira doesn't. Lamachar, the next day, Boy Rachmi, the Achye. Rabbi davens, and Rabbi Zeira comes back to life. Again, either it means that he was unconscious and he returned to consciousness, or it means literally, he did literal Tchias HaMeisim. Just these few lines are already very dramatic, but the Gemara is not done. Lashana, the next year, Armalei Nesi Marvin Avid Suras Purim by Dei Adadi. Let's have Suras Purim again. By the way, this is a Machlokas Mefarshim of the Gemara. Who is speaking to whom? The one of them says, let's do it again, and the other one says, Lo v'chol shayte v'shayte misrachash nisa. Nisan don't happen all the time. So I think usually assumed that Rav is the one who says, yeah, let's do a Suras Purim again. And Zeru feels his neck and says, we're not going through that again. But some understand the other way around. Rav was scarred what happened last year. I don't want to do that again. So what does all this mean? So you look into the Shulchan Aruch quoted the Memra directly. With no ifs, ands, or buts. Ramah, though, already starts to say, well, Ramah says, maybe you don't have to get so drunk, you drink a little more than you usually do, maybe you should go to sleep. You should drink something and go to sleep, and then where's all this coming from? I think the sugya unfolds like this. You take a look back in the Rambam. We had said we would turn to the Rambam. Take a look back in the Rambam. Halacha tezvav, case of chovah suda zu, once again at the top, yochal basar, yisakin suda nuk fisha timsi. You have meat and plenty of food. And you drink until you're drunk and you fall deeply asleep as a result of the drink. So this seems to be a pretty straightforward read of the Gemara. You see the Magen Mishnah quotes, what's the Rambam source? Chayv l'shav asume. This is where he gets the basar from. Says elsewhere, the Gemara says in Simcha Lebasa. Agos Maimi also says, it's the Gemara. Agos Beis, not Agos Maimi. First paragraph in Megillah, Amar Av Mechayev Vishnu Asumi, etc. So Al Pipashus, now Ram doesn't say anything about Ad Lo Yad Abayim. So that's some discussion amongst the poskim. Probably the simplest way to understand the Rambam is that the Rambam, this is not the only place where the Rambam understands that the Gemara is speaking poetically, using expression, and the Rambam will translate the Gemara's poetry into prose. In the next parak, Parak Gimel of Hilchas Chanukah, he discusses Hallel. So the Gemara says that in Erechim we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Kippur because Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanav, Yatem Omrim Shira. How can we say Shira when the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanav are dramatic? The Rambam translates that dramatic poetry into prose. He says there are days of tshuva and yira and pachad, and therefore you don't have simchi yaseir, you don't say hal. That seems to be what Ram, simple reading, what the Ram is doing here also, is he's saying, what does Ad Lo Yad Bein Or Haman LeBaruch Mordechai mean? It means that you get plastered, shine, you're out cold, and you don't know Bein Or Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. If you look in the back, if you look in the back, in the riff, so the riff, does the riff quote this Gemara? How does the riff quote this Gemara? Yeah. So here's Gimel and Beis Bedapa Rif. If you have a big Gemara with a Rif in the back, in the middle of the foot at the two dots, Amar Rav and Mechayv Lishav Asur Mipurya Ad Yadber Baruch Morachay Arham. Quotes the Gemara straight, and as the Shulchan Aruch does, and again as the Rambam may be doing as well. But then the Baal HaMor and the Ran quote one of the Rifs Talmidim, Rabbeinu Ephraim. See the Baal HaMor at the very bottom of the page, one liner. Kasr Rabbeinu Ephraim. Who of the Rabbi Ephraim said, who of the come Rabba Shachli Rab Zeira? That whole story, Rabba attacked Rabbi Zeira under the influence of all the Purim one. And Lashana Amalei Tanavid, let's have it again. And now V'chulu V'chulu Idchilei Memra De Rabba. That's Doche Rabba's Memra. Authentic as a symbol on the face of it, the Gemara Rabba's Memra. He knows he says Rabba not Rava. That may be significant. Because Rava was a generation after Rabba. Rava was one of Rava's Talmidim. So if Rava is saying, Chai Vilna Shavasume, that's a Rif's Girsa, so that was after the story of Rabba and Reb Zera. So then it's hard to say that the story is a Dechia, unless later Amaram said, we know Rava said this, but we think, you know, maybe Ravashi is saying, yeah, but the story of Rabba and Reb Zera, you know, indicates otherwise. But certainly the Rabbein Ephraim's Girsa, that was Rava said it, and then Rava did it. So on the one hand, you have the Rif who quotes the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch quote the Gemara straight, and then you're being Ephraim, quoted by both the Baal HaMor and the Ran, who says, no, it's a machlokas. On the one hand, you have this Memra, but then you have the story, and the point of the story, the Ompasim like this Memra. And then, give me a moment, then you have the in-between. You look in the Beis Yosef presents, on the one hand, and the other hand, either yes, or no, Avinu Ephraim says, the maskan of the Gemara is we reject Chayv Lishav Asumei, a dry Purim Suda. And then the Ramah is quoting from the Orchaz Chaim, the Kolbo, various, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Orchaz Chaim, that maybe you don't get so drunk, but Yishtadosim Milimudo. You could drink more than you usually do, have more wine to Sudas Purim, but not all the way. So that probably is also along the lines of Avinu Ephraim. In other words, Avinu Ephraim said that the story is a total rejection of Chayv Lishav Asumei. These other Rishonim in the middle, then on the other hand you have the Rif who says, no, we just had Rava, no one disagreed, that's it. In the middle you have these middle approaches, either Yosem Limudo or drink and go to sleep, and then Beis Yosef has some more along those lines. Those are probably all understanding like Rabbeinu Ephraim, but less severely. In other words, Rava says or Rabba says Chayv Lishav Asumei, and the story isn't saying we don't paskin that way, but the story is tempering it. As the Gemara is giving a cautionary tale, you should drink, but don't overdo it. So it may even be a reinterpretation. What does, you know, Adlai, and we said Tosis already saying, well, Adlai Yada doesn't mean Mamish. The guy is so gone, he doesn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. No, it means you already had a couple of, a glass or two or three of wine, and you can no longer recite the piyut that you could recite when you were clear. Or the Chachmas Manoach in the back of the Gemara. The Chachmas Manoach in the back of the Gemara, so he has a couple of approaches. I'll share with you one of them. He thinks, because Bechal, the other question, like, well, what does any of this mean? Like, why? Why should this be significant? Why would Chazal want to be misakin drinking so much? And the language of Arham Baruch Mordechai. So the first Beir Halacha, Mishchav Chafetz Chaim, the first Beir Halacha, he says, how could it be that Chazal be mechayev you to get drunk? So many places in the Tanakh, we hear that drunkenness can get into all sorts of trouble. Noach, Lot, and so on and so forth. Yesh Lomar, he says, the first Beir Halach in the Siman, Kol Nisim Shenasu Yisrael, they were Aydei Mishteh. First you had Vashti, Rashi disappears because of the Mishnah. Haman gets done in at the Mishnah. So Chivu Chacham lehishtaker kidei she nizkar neis hagal b'shtiyas ayin. It's a zecher to the neis. It's a zecher to the nisim of Purim, which happened b'mishta. So we drink. And then he quotes what the Hagos Maimere quote calls it a mitzvah lola akiv. It's an added feature, a midas chasidus almost, an enhancement of the suda is to have enough wine to get a little drunk, so that way you remember as a zecher to the various mishtaos in the Megillah. The Chacham Lanoch takes a different approach. He thinks, he speaks about a great length, we don't have time for his whole presentation, but he references the fact that the Nefesh HaChaim and others talk about, he says, Mekubalim talk about, Baruch HaTo Hashem. They don't understand. Baruch HaTo Hashem. We're giving a bracha to Kadosh Baruch. Kadosh Baruch needs our bracha. You are blessed. So the Nefesh HaChaim apparently quotes from earlier Sefer Kabbalah, that even though Baruch sounds like you are blessed, it can actually mean that Hashem is the blesser. He is the source of all blessing. Baruch HaTo Hashem doesn't mean that Hashem should be blessed. It means Hashem is the Mekar HaBracha. He's the source of blessing for us, for the entire universe. So the Chacham Zanoch, in the back of the Gemara, he thinks, Baruch Mordechai, Arur Haman, it refers to the fact, not that Haman is cursed and Mordechai is blessed, but the fact that there was an episode, one point in the Megillah, Haman is cursing. At a different point in the Megillah, Mordechai is blessing. In other words, there was a point in the story where Haman was trying to do us in. The later point in the story where Mordechai is saving us. That's the first set of letters and the second set of letters. Haman had sent letters, then Mordechai sent letters. So he says, Adal Yoda Bein Arham Baruch Mordechai, this is creative. You forget what happened in between. What part of the story happened in between the first set of letters and the second set of letters? The first set of letters were Haman be ma'areras. The second set of letters were Mordechai be mevarechas. In between were the tzaras. In between were when Klal Yisrael was suffering. So he says, the point is you should drink enough and you forget about the tzaras. Forget about the tzaras. He says, just like Matan Zev Yonim, is the part of the goal of Matan Zev Yonim is to help the Ani, at least for today, forget about his poverty, his present poverty. So the drinking allows us to forget about the tzaras of yesteryear. So forget that they were tzaras. Interesting approach. Yeah, it's a somewhat different. It's not the simplest read. But whatever it is, it does seem like there are three shittos in Rishonim. How to understand what happens to Rava or Rabba's memory. Rif just quotes it straight, and the Shulchan quotes it straight, and the Rambam probably quotes it straight, although the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Rambam is also one of the intermediate positions. And on the other hand, gave Rabbeinu Rif, Tal Rabbeinu Ephraim, quoted by the Ran in the Balamar, who says it's totally gone. And then they have in-between positions, which the Ramah takes, which again are probably a way of blending the memory of Rava with the story. That the story is not being totally docha the memra, but rather the story is tempering it. So, and the Ramah stresses, that whichever Rishon you're going to take, definitely needs to be done L'Shem Shamayim, and that's something the Mishnah Berurah stresses in the second piece of Bir Halacha, and then he stresses in Sif Katan Dalit also. Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Rambam is like the Ramah. You go to sleep. Yeah, he thinks the Rambam is like the Ramah, that it's a softened version of the original memra. It could be. Mishnah Berurah points out, beginning of Sif Katan Dalit, he gives an approach that's somewhat to the Chacham Zanoch. The end of Sif Katan Dalit, he points out the Rishon already say, Ar Zarua, that remember, you might be drinking, but you still have to keep all the other dinim too. It's Yel Sedaim and Brachas and Pirkas HaMazon. And here's the key point. V'hiya simcha shel mitzvah. And that's what the Ramah is saying. It needs to be something that elevates me. So however much I'm going to drink, it has to be something that's enhancing my spirituality and not chalila the opposite. He quotes the Prima Gadim. all the mitzvahs trichas kavana, and matalos eviyam shalach malos, and the suas purim should all be religiously, spiritually elevating exercises. Halacha lamaisa, it's simple reading the Shulchan Aruch is the Mechaber quotes the Rif, the Ramah quotes the middle position. It sounds like Ashkenazi got, I'm not sure what this far more recent Sephardi post can write, but just looking at Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like the Sephardim would follow the position of the Rif and I think the Rambam. And again, in a way that elevates me, he quotes the Meiri Navchalila in a way that's mafchis me, not to vomit, but to get really, really drunk in a healthy way. That seems to be the approach of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah, Ashkenaz, and Pashas who follow the Ramah. Not Rabbeinu Ephraim, unless if one can't drink, then you follow Rabbeinu. For whatever reason, it doesn't make sense medically or socially or emotionally to drink at all, so then you follow Rabbeinu Ephraim. So the Ram quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, it's a significant position. But if one is in a healthy place and one can drink moderately in healthy ways, Ramah takes the middle position. That should be the psak of Ashkenazim, to drink more than I would drink, and to take a nap also. You cover your base in terms of the two approaches the Ramah quotes in a way that elevates me and in a way that does not get in the way of other mitzvahs. I would stress, and then Eric's been waiting very patiently, even the Rambam, who I believe is the proponent together with his Rebbe, the Rif, of the full drinking, he stresses, he presents it as yayin, plenty of yayin, within the context of the Suda. It's not anything but yayin, and it's not at other times of the day. And the Shulchan Aruch does that as well. The Shulchan Aruch presents Chai V'Shav Asume in the context of Sudas Purim, as a detail. One of the details of Sudas Purim, that goes back to what we said before, the Rambam generally, Chai V'Lahar Mitzvah L'Harbos, Rambam presents Sudas Purim as a Suda that's big and broad and a super Sudas Yamtuf. More basar, more every Sudas Yantiv is basar yain. This is more basar and more yain, a bigger, broader, richer, more bountiful Sudas Purim. That's what even the Rambam, who's one of the greatest proponents of drinking, presenting as, so to speak, a bigger shear of basar v'yain than maybe on some other yantiv. Some other yantiv, I have my steak and I sip my merlot and I'm good. As Yotzei basar yain. And Sudas Purim, it says, not enough just to sip your merlot, you're going to have a significant quantity of Merlot. How significant quantity is, that's the Machlokas Mechaber Ramah, but it's going to be not just a steak, you're going to have many different types of meat on the table, if you can afford it, Kifiyash Tim Siyado, you'll have plenty of wine, a bigger shear of Basav Yain. It's not a separate freestanding mitzvah number five, it's an aspect of enriched Sudas Purim. Eric, you've been waiting super patiently.
Bring a pasuk to prove that the suda speak by yom. The libesume, he just says this is like, I guess this is like Kabbalah.
Oh.
And it seems like the Beer Halacha has this like also like, where did he get this from? There's no source anywhere. There's nothing in the Megillah that says you have to drink. You have to definitely not that you have to get drunk. And he's like, maybe it's because of the Mishnah and stuff about the Mishnah, but it seems no source. But he. Clearly,
that's a very good point.
That the Mishnah has to be the day.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that may speak to the point that we said, Poskim quote, and one of the earlier sources here back in the bottom of the page of the Rambam, that goes Miami at the end of Sifkat and Beis, after he quotes the Gemara of Chai V'Shav Asume, he quotes the Rav Yah. I think the Mordechai also quotes the Rav Yah, if I remember correctly. Kol Hani L'mitzav Yam of Lola Akim. This is just an added feature of the Suda's program that's not Ma'akim. So that probably, I didn't take a look at the Rav Yah inside. Here they tell you to wait where you can look at. You can open the Rav Yah, the end of Simon Tavkuf Samach Dalad. It'd be interesting if he quotes your points, Eric. Why do you think Rav is not Makkah? Because there was no Pasuk, there was no Makkah. So he's saying, Misvara, like the Mishnah Berurah said, Misvara makes sense, the Chazal would make a Zecher, but as the Beir Halacha had said, it's L'mitzvah, Lola Aki, which again, he's quoting the Eli Rabbah. It's already from Rishon, it's already from the Rav Yah. So that may.
And the other thing is that the story at the end of the Gemara, like if the drinking was at the wine, and even if you hold like the Rambam, and you say that maybe he's just going to sleep, then why couldn't the answer have been, well, they had the Suda during the day and they fall asleep because that's the mitzvah and they're sleeping?
That's interesting.
But that doesn't get the answer. The answer is no, because they had the Suda during the day.
I That's interesting. I wonder if that's what tridi means. They're tarred. It's an interesting language. They're tarred with sudas purim. So tridi can mean they're tarred, they're busy preparing it. Or tridi can mean they're busy eating it. And it's a big sudas. It's many, many courses. Or tridi may also mean they're busy with a post suda. They're fast asleep. Yeah. Of course, if you hold Akarein Ephraim, so then by that point in time, the generation after Rav, they had already worked out not to drink. So that's interesting how these Gemaras relate to each other. Now, I mentioned the Ramah talks about five or six different issues of the courses of Beis. So the first one is the menu. This discussion about to what extent should I be drinking. The second point, the third to last line, if you have a Mishnah Berurah, point number two in the Ramah Sif Beis, Yesha Nogu Lilbosh Big Day Shabbos Yantav Bapurim Vechein Nachon, according to the Maril. We had raised in the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Alfad references. That's appropriate to wear Big Day Shabbos on Purim. It's something to consider very seriously. I usually tell Talmidim you should either show up over the course of Purim, she's wearing a costume, maybe that's specifically Big Day Purim, or if you're not wearing a costume, then you don't just show up in a polo shirt, you show up in Big Day Shabbos. Show up in either a suit and tie, or a bekesha, you know, or whatever the, and it's worth considering. I wonder if the Maril would suggest also that if you're going to choose a costume, matov if it's a costume that's someone else's Big Day Shabbos, or a costume that's has an element of formality to it. But at the very least, if one's not going to wear a costume, so the proper thing to do is to spend Purim dressed the way I'm dressed over the course of a Shabbos or Yontif. And then the third issue. Yeah, the first issue Ramah talks about is the menu. The second issue is attire. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah may point out it's balayla as well as bayom. And the third issue is a question of timing. This is where it goes back to Trumas Hadeshen from the late Chachmei Ashkenaz. He has this discussion. When do you have your Sudas Purim? It's a very, very, very important issue. Depending on who is hosting the Sudas Purim, you may have more or less control over this. Or you may have to figure out a workaround. Noagim lasa sudas purim la'achar mincha. He says, the minig is, Ramah says, to daven mincha then at the sudas purim, as opposed to having it, in the morning. But our verse is, as opposed to trying to eat first and then daven mincha afterwards. Our verse is followed by laila. You can daven ma'ariv later at night after the suda. U'mispala minchat, but we say after mincha, not that you daven a half hour before Shkia, then you start your Suda. You daven a much earlier mincha, when there's plenty of time left today. Most of the Suda should be during the day before Shkia. This is coined from Minhagei Isaac Turner and others. But later it appears that the Dark Moshe gives the sources. But love Kamosha Nogin Lahatschil Ko Samach Le'erev. The Ikra Suda he leil tazvav. He says, what often happens, the Trumas Hadeshen, he's quoting the Trumas Hadeshen, says this. He says, I see what many people do, they just sort of squeak in like Shal Shudas, squeak in, start before Shkia, and then most of the Suda leil tazvav. The Trumas Hadeshen says, I've seen many people do it, but I don't think that's the right way to go. And then he goes on to say, well, if it's Erev Shabbos, the opposite of this year, it's Sunday, if it's Erev Shabbos, then probably best to have the Suda Baboker. Suda Bashachris, well, because it's called Shabbos. That way you're not coming showing up to Shabbos drunk, and that way you're not showing up to Shabbos full. And you show up to Shabbos, you have your suit in the morning, and then by the time Shabbos rolls around, you're ready for Shabbos, you're prepared for Shabbos, b'chavadik, and you're hungry for Friday night suda. And there are other approaches as well, but the official suggestion in Shulchan Aruch is Friday morning you would have the suda baboker. And then he says, the truth is true possession. He says, you're not mechuyev to have the Suda in the afternoon ever. That's what's commonly done, is you start the Suda during the afternoon with plenty of time left to Shkia. He says, if you want to have your Suda's Purim even on a Sunday or some other day of the week, on a Tuesday in the morning, because then to hate, knock yourself out. But that is sometimes the solution. If I'm not hosting the Suda's Purim and I'm not in a position to decide what the timing is, and I'm worried that the Sudas Purim may start pretty, I may have Rova Suda Balayla, or even worse, by the time, I'm not really the Baal Bas, I'm being hosted, we may end up not even washing until after Shkia. So then the solution is not We never want to make machlokes, generally. Generally don't want to make machlokes, certainly on Purim. The solution is finesse the situation. Have your own suda baboker. Have your own suda at 10 o'clock in the morning. You wash, have fleishiks, drink some wine, sing, bench, alanisim, go to sleep, and then you go to spend time with friends and family later. And if they start on time, they start on time, they start late, and at least you can show up relaxed and happy, and not worried about, because for sure everyone agrees, you don't have to have more than one suda baboker. You can have as many sudas as you like, but you're not mechuyav to have more than one suda baboker. So once you had one in the morning, bayom, you had one in the morning, that's already, you're good to go.
Where's this from, how David Mincha first come from?
That's the Truman Sadashin quotes it as, that's what the minig was. David Mincha early, then you have a couple of hours before Shkia to already have your Suda Benachas. And the Sif Gimel, he talks about there are those who would be Machmir to try to bench before Shkia, because if you bench after Shkia, there's a little bit of a discussion. Can you still say Alanisim? If you ate before Shkia, but you're benching after Shkia. But the practice is that we do say Alanisim, if you're benching, usually we do bench after Shkia. And we say Alanisim. The Ramah is very clear about that. The Ramah here also, he touches on the idea of having some Simcha Ketzas on Shushan Purim as well. And maybe let's close with this. We did not have a chance to talk about Mishloach Manos. But let's close with the line of the Ramah. Tov la'asok ma'at b'torah kod b'shiyaskul ha'suda. It's a good idea to learn a little bit before starting the Suda. Smach le'davar le'yehudim ha'isa or v'simcha. V'darshina an or zu Torah. So or zu Torah, and then afterwards you have the Simcha. So the Rishon, you look back in Beis Yosef, and Dr. Moshe, the Rishonim explained that you see from that story, well, we'll end where we began, with this story that right before the Mishnah. So you see from the story that Sudas Purim is Doche Talmud Torah. Because the answer was, they're busy with Sudas Purim, so that's why they're not coming to learn. They said, that's appropriate. But at the same time, it makes sense to inject some Talmud Torah. And say, so then make sure to learn a little bit beforehand. Some even have the practice to begin learning Hilchas Pesach at this Purim Suda, because that's Shloshim Yom Kodem HaRegel. Certainly this year, learning more is a very appropriate thing to do, both because we've changed the clocks and because it's always a good idea to try to learn more in Purim, a day of Kabbalah Satorah, and particularly when our minds are Eretz Yisrael word. Our minds are Eretz Yisrael word. I'll leave you with this, the beautiful Rambam at the end, when he talks about Halacha Yud Zayin, he says, it makes sense to have more, to spend more of my discretionary income on Matanos Avyonim than on Suda and Mishloach Manos, not just because taking care of others is more important than Simchas Purim, but because the greatest Simchas Purim, the Simchas Haguf of Sudas Purim is very important, it's critical, and it's finite. The Simcha of giving, he says, Matanos Avyonim is not only I'm being Mesameach him, I'm also being Mesameach myself. The simcha of giving to someone else is a greater, more glorious simcha, in part because, Rama goes on to say, I'm plugging into the divine model. Kadosh Baruch Hu invests himself in taking care of others, in resuscitating those who feel downtrodden, those who feel knocked down and broken. So when I reach out and I'm empathetic, I notice someone else, I take care of someone else, and I pick someone else up, I'm being like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So not only am I giving him simcha, I'm going to tap into the infinite makara simcha of being like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's, Purim is always a day to think about ourselves and to spend a lot of time thinking about others. This year it's going to be even more poignant than a typical year. And this year, certainly, we want our Purim to be full of all the rich mitzvahs of Purim, plenty of Suda and plenty of Mishloach Manos and plenty of Matanos Avyonim. Plenty of thinking of Bitachon, which is Megill, and plenty of Talmud Torah. Shvizochet Simcha Shalema and Gula Krova.